Science films have come a long way from this.
Nature constantly wears away its own. Left to themselves, materials eventually decay.
Now they've got flashy trailers.
We're trying to find a volunteer who'd be willing to keep their garbage.
Famous narrators.
There is a mysterious ritual that dates back thousands of years.
And edgy music. There are hundreds of these environmentally themed movies, and they're hitting the festival circuit hard. You've got Korea, Italy, Israel, DC, Colorado, Michigan. Susan Woods got to choose the movies to include in Michigan's first ever Green on the Big Screen Film Festival.
Well, it was quite daunting, to tell you the truth, in the beginning when I started looking up all these different films. I thought, oh my goodness, how can I select them? I mean, there's just too many to select.
She eventually settled on about 30 films, including one called King Korn. Kurt Ellis produced the documentary, which is all about, yep, you guessed it, corn, and our dependence on it for almost everything we eat.
Pork, beef, breads,
sodas, chicken, french fries,
spaghetti sauces,
biscuits and with gravy.
Everything on your plate is corn.
When you're telling a story about the natural world, you really have to be able to transport people to the place you're talking about.
And Ellis thinks the best way to do that, you know, short of lecturing people in a cornfield in the middle of Iowa, is to show them a film.
I mean, the reason we make documentaries, Lord knows it's not for the profit. The reason we do it is because we believe film can make a difference.
My opinion of media effects in terms of film actually producing social action is pretty limited.
That's Daniel Herbert. He teaches film at the University of Michigan. You could say he's got a healthy amount of skepticism when it comes to film's impact on environmental change.
I mean, unless you have policies in your city government with recycling, what does it matter if you've watched Inconvenient Truth? I mean, like, it's about lived experience, right? And if you don't, if Al Gore is telling you to buy $30 light bulbs and you're making $9 an hour working at Starbucks, what's it matter?
Plus, he says you run the risk of having audiences think that, you know, just because they watched the film, they've somehow participated in solving the problem. Now, that said, if he had to choose between showing an environmental film at a festival, at a commercial movie theater, or on television, Herbert says he'd pick the festival. Sure, there's probably a greater audience to be had with television, and it's a little more convenient, you know, to just Netflix the film and watch it from home, but you lose something that way. Susan Woods, you remember, she's from the Michigan Film Festival. She says a festival can provide a whole different experience.
The difference is that these people are sitting home alone in a dark room as opposed to being with a group of people who have the same mindset. And I think that's the big difference.
And she says at a festival, if you feel inspired by one of the films, you can, you know, go up to a director afterwards and ask a question or talk with a climate change expert about solutions. You can sometimes even sign up with a local environmental group, something you definitely wouldn't be able to do sitting at home alone in the dark with your TV. For the Environment Report, I'm Jennifer Guerra.